From the studios at a nice farm upstate, it's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show with Rick Pruse and Lee Cohen.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we're speaking this morning with Kevin Baker, who is the owner of Baker's Wildlife Services. And Kevin, before the break, we were talking a little bit about raccoons and the amount of damage that they might be able to do or the mess that they make. And it's pretty ironic because now they've become heroes in the pop culture world because of Disney. And everyone's loving raccoons, but if they're in your house, not so much.
Yeah, they don't have a golf ball size hole they come through, I would imagine.
No, a raccoon's going to have a hole roughly the size of a cantaloupe or lard. And when you talk about damage that they do, I mean, they can. I have seen where they torn off shingles, torn off siding, damaged people's homes and property. I've seen in the attic where they, you know, really torn up air conditioning and ductwork up there. They will cause damage, and you just kind of don't want them around. Another issue is the feces that they may be leaving in your yard. You may have a dog that might eat it or roll in it. Not a good thing. It's not healthy. There's ectoparasites, eggs of ectoparasites in their feces.
No, I know of dog owners, you know, talking about this pet show, I know dog owners that have either nearly lost or lost their animal associated with the consumption of excrement in the backyard, assuming maybe raccoons or maybe squirrels. I don't know. I think it was raccoons.
Yeah. I have seen homes where the animal, a raccoon, just decides it wants to use a particular spot in the flower bed for its toilet on its nightly journeys. So the animal is just passing through, leaving its excrement, and moving on. And then that becomes a habit. And that is, and I'm not sure if this is correct to use, but I would call it a biohazard.
No, yeah, and is that something that somebody would call you out on? I mean, is it, you know, if you remove that one, well, it would be appropriate to maybe remove that specific one because of the specific traits that that one has, even though you probably can't remove all the raccoons in the neighborhood?
Well, that's the first thought that comes to mind, but I think it's the first step should be a thorough removal of all the feces in the area and putting out some kind of an odor repellent. And I would basically recommend a dish full of Pine Sol or Mr. Clean, because that's going to kick out an odor that even I find it offensive, you know, when it's strong. And the idea is to get the animal to change his habits, because putting trapping first, I might catch six raccoons before we ever catch the one that's causing you the trouble.
Sure, sure.
And residual feces and odor are going to be an attractant to future animals.
Will that work for most animals? Are there certain animals that don't respond to that, or does that work for squirrels and raccoons?
Well, repelling is very, very hard to do. And see, this is a site-specific issue. That will work. I'll tell you, through my experiences, I've seen more mothballs than any, or smelled more mothballs than ones that have to.
Say that one more time.
Well, I would say that through all of my experiences, I have smelled more mothballs than any person should have to. The public just seems to think that mothballs is a solution for animal problems. But I can tell you this, in one of my very first jobs years ago, I went to a home because the fella had a skunk under his front porch. He had a low front porch, and there was a depression underneath it, and I saw it when I rang his doorbell, and there were six mothballs in that depression. And I said to him, it would probably be more effective if you threw those mothballs underneath the deck instead of putting them right there. And he said, I did. The skunks rolled them out. And I have seen that time and again and heard that. I'm not a fan of repellents. I have found that they generally don't work. And the problem beyond that is, if they do work, the still have the offending animal out there who could come back 3 weeks later and attempt to get back in. So I believe in removal of the animal.
Now, speaking of that, Kevin, one of the things you've got on your website is guaranteed bat evictions. How tough is it to catch a bat? Because I've got to imagine that they're not hanging low to the ground. They're flying high. And you've got so many homes these days that have these big vaulted ceilings. And that's got to make it difficult to catch them. What's that like?
Well, are you speaking of catching an individual bat that's in your living area or of evicting a colony that's in your attic?
I'll try both.
Okay. First of all, if a bat is in your living area, I go out and get bats, but we have to be able to see the bat or have it contained to one room. Because if a loose bat is flying throughout an entire house, he's got so many places to hide that it's almost impossible to find it. If you had a bat hanging on your wall and I came to remove it, and I don't recommend this to people. I do this because of my experience. I wear a heavy leather glove, and I reach up and I pinch it by the scruff of the neck. And I can get them and remove them that way.
Sure, sure.
There's other methods that homeowners will use, such as a butterfly net or put a Tupperware bowl over it. But the important thing is very, very, very important, I believe, for any bat that's in a house is that it should be captured and then and held and contained. And then the health department call, see if they want to test that bat or not. If you let a bat out of the house and you suspect it needed to be tested, now you don't have the opportunity for that, and the recommendation will be a few rabies shots, preventative rabies shots. Now, bats that are in your attic, what we're dealing with in this area of Michigan is our big brown bats, and that species lives as a colony. And for me to get them out of a house, every job begins with complete inspection on the exterior of the home at eave level and above. This is where they enter. They don't enter lower than that, the colony I'm speaking of. And when I'm inspecting, I'm looking for their active entry point, and I'm looking for any other gap, crack, or opening that they could use to regain access if you simply closed off their present entry point. Now, the first part of my job would be to do any repairs on the house to seal all gaps and cracks and openings other than the entry point. And when I get to that point, then I put a one-way door over the entry. So that they'll be able to fly out, but they can't get back in, and they won't find another way to get back into the attic. They don't all leave every night, so I typically leave my one-way door for 10 to 14 days to be sure that they're all gone. And then I remove the materials and seal it behind it.
And is that approach taken with other animals as well? I mean, we had some conversation about squirrels, and I swear I've done a little bit of, you know, Google searching, and it seems like that one-way doorway seems to be at least practiced with a few animals, no?
You could use a one-way door over most any animal entry. But again, I'll go back to the point is if we do this, then that offending animal is still out there.
I got you.
For example, if you have a wood-sided house that a red squirrel has chewed through, and we put a one-way door up, I mean, he can't get back in where he wants to, but he can certainly chew another hole in your wood siding.
Sure, sure.
Or vinyl. Or get through a roof vent or any other vents on the house. So, you could do probably anything with a one-way door, but it might kind of turn into a game of musical chairs.
Yeah. Well,
Kevin, if any of our audience is interested in talking with you more about the subjects you brought up, how could they reach you?
Oh, please call me anytime, any day. My phone number is area code 517-897-1985.
All right. Well, Kevin, we want to thank you for coming on our show and sharing your insights. And my recommendation is you might want to call Mr. Rick Pruse because he's got some unwelcome visitors.
Got some unsolved business.
so he might be a good one for you two to get together. But in the meantime, we want to thank you for being on the show. And Rick, unfortunately, we are out of time for this week. So on behalf of our producer, Scott Holliday, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. In the meantime, all of you, please take good care of your animals. Stay safe. And I've got to say it, go Tampa Bay. Have a great week, everybody. Get some more.